Blog Talk Radio.
Hey man, what it is, man? It's KG.
Yeah, KG, what's up, G?
Yeah, man, me and Ice Cube got this movie episode in a second, with it?
Yeah, man, yo, Chuck, man, check this out, man. KG and Ice Cube on the phone, they want to go to movies, man. You with it, man? Come on, get your ass out the shower. Let's go, man.
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First the guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie, but it'll take a black one to move me. Get me the hell away from this TV. All the dudes and views are beneath me. So all I hear about is that swinging out about gangs putting each other's head out. So I'd rather kick some slang out. All right, fellas, let's go hang out. Hollywood or would they not make us all look bad like I know they had? But some things I'll never forget, yeah. So step and fetch this shit. For all the years we looked like clowns, the joke is over, smell the smoke from all around.
Now every single bitch wanna see me. Big daddy is smooth words to mother. Let's check out a flick that exploits the color. Rolling through Hollywood late at night. Red, blue, white with a common sight. Pull to the curb, get swung like a sucker. Don't fight the power, the motherfucker.
As I walk the streets of Hollywood Boulevard, big and hard it was for those who starred in the movies, portraying the roles of butlers and maids, slaves and hoes. Many intelligent black men seen to look up to the lines when on the screen. Like I guess I figure you to play some jigaboo on the plantation. What else can a nigga do? And black women in this profession have for playing a lawyer out of question. For what they played Angel Mama is the perfect term, even if now she got a perm. So let's make our own movies like Spike Lee, cause the roles being offered don't strike me. There's nothing that the black man could use to earn. Burn, Hollywood, burn.
Now we're considering you for a part in our new production. How do you feel about playing a controversial Negro?
Yeah, I'm with it. You mean somebody like you would be new name Jeff Brown, right?
Well, it's a servant, Arthur, that shuffles a little bit to sing.
Yo, man, what? Exploit the color
of many intelligent black men.
I smell a riot going off. I smell a riot going off. I smell a riot going off.
Fight the power. Get down with the PE.
A controversial Negro. Controversial Negro.
Yo, man, what? Bullshit.
Hey, 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 Q, the cash, like, listen, I hope you ain't wasting my time. You know how I feel about giving these movies my money. You know what I'm saying? What are for?
Come on, man. It's supposed to be so good.
Chill, man. Hey, I'm chill too, man. But you know what I'm saying? I just don't, I can't go with this deal, Magnolia shit. You know what I'm
cool,
saying?
Cool, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's feature presentation, Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, oh man, no. This is what I'm talking about. Turn to the damn shit. I'm out of here, man.
Hey, yo, check it out, man. I got Black C's at the crib, man. Y'all want to go check that out?
Yeah. That's the idea. Cause we could have rolled it from the get-go. Y'all with it,
fuck
man.
Fuck Hollywood, man.
I sold my soul to the devil. I know it's a crappy deal. You just came with a few toys like a Happy Meal.
Man, hip-hop so fucked up right now, man. Everybody rap about a bunch of bullshit. A lot of these niggas be lying about the shit they talking about. These niggas really puppets. They masters telling what to do and they just do that shit.
Hey, man, look, when it comes to this shit, I'm like the black rap superhero. These niggas ain't fucking with me, man. I'm the best. I bet your mom and your girl know. Mad, she like NASA, got this out of this world flow. Dag, these other rappers mad, but I don't care though. They don't compare to him, get shitted on like a scarecrow. And these motherfuckers is weirdos. The music that they make straight hurt my earlobes. I wish I knew a way to make my ears close. I wouldn't have to hear those songs that's terrible. These down south cats rap like Handbone. These niggas up north can't make a damn song. But spit for 10 minutes straight rapping my head off. see what you saying, I don't care, go ahead, dawg. To tell the truth, most these dudes some damn frauds. A bitch at heart, but on these songs so damn hard. Guess in this game, it's what you call playing your damn part. Betray a facade, set it be who you damn are. I ain't lying, for example, look at your man Ross. Acting like he Larry Hoover, the real Ricky or Nicky Barnes. Before he became a star, he was a prison guard. Every day he was hustling, putting niggas in bars. That nigga's a fraud. His jewelry and his nice cars got people confused, thinking he really a boss. But what about your boy Lil Weezy? Kissing on baby, as if he was a lady. And people don't seem to care. To me, that shit is crazy. To call a man your daddy that didn't bust in your mammy. If you was to ask me, I'd tell you that's nasty. And them niggas faggots, so fuck the tough shit they rapping. And your boy Tip, he on that bullshit. X-Con cook with big guns, do a little bit. That don't really make sense. But I don't know him to call him a stone cold snitch. But what I think it is he done sold his soul and shit. To them devils who own and control this shit. On some Snoop Dogg shit. Murder was the case they gave me. Listen to that song, he'll spell it out plainly. Demonic voices in his rapper's head got him going crazy. Ready to kill your mama, listening to Slim Shady. Cause the Eminem of hip hop is like the Eminem of rock. Marilyn Manson is the devil that I'm talking about. And Slim Shady worships Satan, what you forgot? When he was like, there's seven different levels of devil worship and horse ahead. Human sacrifices, cannibalism, candles and exorcism. Animals having sex with them, camels, mammals and rabbits. He said he don't get into that, he kicked the habit. But nigga, I know you lying. You battling for Babylon while I'm dropping science design. With the heart of a lion and the wisdom of a prophet. My intuition got me listening to my higher godly conscience. Jigga said he never prayed to God, prayed to John Gotti. That shit crazy. Got me wonder how he could pray to another man, especially in a white body. The name is record label after demonic family and Illuminati. Jeezy said trap or die, niggas dying while they trapping. Why he living in this mansion, niggas living what he rapping. 50 Cent like the Hulk Hogan it is. Always tongue wrestling rappers for the publicity he can get. His whole claim to fame wasn't because of the man could rhyme. He got all the shine because he got shot 9 times. These down south rappers just sound so stupid. They barely talk, just make noises like, oh, let's do it. How about for you to be the most hot out? You gotta sound like a preschool dropout. I'm talking about Waka Flocka, OJ the Juice Man, Soulja Boy Tellerman, retarded ass Gucci Man. They dumbass whack with they nursery rap. And since we so uneducated, we attracted to that. I listen to they tracks and like, these niggas is really biting. I ain't gonna lie, these niggas sound like 50 types. Even though we got a disability, I fuck with little homie. Cause autism ain't stopping him from swagging on the honey. Kanye said Bush don't like black people. Okay, Kanye don't like black women cause he gay. Drake said he the Osiris of this shit right now. You know Egyptian mythology, you know how stupid that sound. For that clone to compare himself to a god like how that helped cultivate civilizations along the Nile. Niggas really living in denial. If they think the music they listen to don't affect how they living it out. Just like what you put in your mouth affect your body shape. Well, what you put in your brain affect the way you behave. So while you being entertained, the shit that in your brain go to your subconscious. That controls your heartbeat, the way you breathe, and all other automatic responses. That's why whenever there's problems or conflicts, we instantly act like little ghetto devilish monsters. Since our culture is so damn demonic, only shit that we honor is drugs, money, bitches, and violence.
You know, in my time, you know, modern day Sinatra, so, you know, I try to live up to that, you know. I get possessed by the spirits.
And this machine around us, this so-called music industry, is such a demonic thing. It sacrifices people's lives.
Fame used to be the byproduct of success, and now it's the ultimate goal. And if your ultimate goal is to be famous, then you're going to do a lot to get there, like sign your name in blood in a contract with the devil. Like, you're going to end up on a one-way street, and it's going nowhere. Like, that's just the truth. I've seen so many people, like, forsake their moral code and their value systems just for a little bit of fame, and it's not worth it at the end of the day. It's really not worth it.
Peace, peace. Be back once again with Dr. Alain Bey. Glad you're listening to the show. I have my co-host, Grand Sheik, Brother R.L., coming on.
This is Daryl King of Sound of Market, you know, biggest and largest record store.
Brother L., are you here?
Yes, sir. Brother, peace and love, God.
Peace and love, God. How you doing today?
Doing very well, very well. How's the God doing, especially from the trip?
Oh, yeah, excellent.
I know it was a little enlightened.
Yeah, it was a beautiful trip. Family orientated. It was about 20 of us, and we went down to Cozumel, Mexico. We went to the pyramids, Tulum, and we enjoyed ourselves for 5 days. And can't talk more about it than how beautiful it was, you know.
Wonderful, wonderful,
can't wait to
beautiful.
Do it again. Can't wait to do it again. As a matter of fact, our tour guide just went on ahead and told the truth and just busted out that the Olmecs were the black Egyptians, the Nubians, who came here and basically were the mothers of civilization here in the Western Hemisphere. He just came out and told the truth about the matter. There was no more holding back, no more lies.
Wow.
So you know what's up with that. So we got that on tape. A Mexican saying that the Africans were here in the Americas first, and they are the oldest people here, and they are the mothers and fathers of Western civilization. A Mexican saying this, who speaks who is a Mayan, who speak Mayan Yucatan language. You know, who speaks Spanish, who speaks English. And who is an anthropologist and a historian by trade?
I
so
gotta
there's
get
no
that
more
tape
lies.
More.
Truth is out. The truth is out, and the cat is out the damn bag.
I gotta get that tape.
No doubt about it. We're gonna make it available. We're gonna do our own documentary. You know.
All right.
You know, people talk about Hidden Colors. Well, we're gonna see soon what we can put together here, because we're gonna be putting together. No more hidden colors. It's just going to be colors. because we're going to get it from everybody telling the truth, from the Europeans to the Mexicans to everyone, just telling the truth about our history, having to come out in this day and time. There's no doubt about it. You know, who are the oldest people on not just the planet Earth, but in the Western Hemisphere? Not only are we a global people, some just want to tie us down to just one continent, just as of Africa, but yet everyone knows that we had a great diaspora. We have gone throughout the various continents, all 7 continents. We have formed civilization on at one time or another throughout nearly 3 billion years of our existence on planet Earth, in which that is documented at least 2.8 billion years, according to Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Creedmore and Richard L. Thompson, in which that validates the fact that in South Africa they have found orbs, round objects, metallic objects, in which that dates back to 2.8 billion years ago with exquisite carving at the equator. So that means we were smelting metals 2.8 billion years ago. So that is a high civilization. That is a people of high science. That is not someone in which that was walking around as an ape or coming from an ape. The ape species is only 20 million years old.
Yes, sir.
So who created the ape species? Who created the animal species or population upon this planet? If we was here 2.8 billion, and if the planet is only 4.5 billion years old, and we was already here nearly after a billion to 2 billion years on the planet documented, then someone has done lost their goddamn minds trying to say that the evolutionary process took place and that we came from apes when our species, humanoid species, was here 2.8 billion years smelting metal. No goddamn ape smoked no damn metal.
That's right.
I ain't seen no ape smoke a metal yet. So what is this damn bullshit they keep talking about, Brother L? You know what's going on. It's
That's
some more
right.
lies in order to keep the masses at a standstill. Well, we got another lie in which that we're going to unfold tonight, and that's dealing with this damn Bible. As a matter of fact, the Bible, I think it was a TV series. They had a series on just here recently, or this last past week here, while we was cruising. I didn't even get a chance to watch none of it because I'm too busy cruising. You know, we trying to find out history. We ain't got time to watch no damn TV.
No,
and definitely
not talking
about
no
damn Bible, you know, which that's dealing with some plagiarized history, you know. So, but anyway, people was caught up into the Bible. You know, they was talking about the Bible series. I think it was on National Geographic or one of them channels. I don't know which channel it was. Someone hit me up in the chat room in order to Tell me what channel it was on which that this TV series was on here. You know what I'm saying? Hit me up in the chat room where we can get into the discussion about the Bible.
What?
You know.
Well, you know, one
did
thing,
you get a chance to
Easter.
Watch? I think it was on the History Channel, Brother L. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I didn't hear anything about it.
You ain't hear nothing
sure
about the Bible? Well, that's good. You ain't even get a chance to watch the mess. But it was on the History Channel, from what I got some information on here. So.
Oh, they have a whole lot of junk on there about Inhotep and ancient Kemet. And,
well, that's
believable. They all lies.
Right, right,
distorted.
Right.
And a lot of times
right.
I don't waste my time with it.
Well, they still ain't make Jesus black, of course, but they made Satan look like Obama.
That figures.
Yeah, they made Satan look like Obama. Goddamn complete, damn near complete image of him. You know, but guess what?
They,
Jesus was still white with stringy ass hair.
They're constantly trying to hang on because
yeah.
they know their time is near.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It
definitely.
Really is
you
up.
Know.
Really. This is a clearing eight. So it's really. But they're just trying everything to hang on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So here we are. I think, what, the series finale was this past Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And it was dealing with the Bible. So everybody was all up into it. You know, people still believing in this mythology, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we live in a world of religious confusion. You know, whether it's Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Hinduism, Taoism, Confucianism, Buddhism, Jainism, Shintoism, Sikhism, Baha'ism, or et cetera. You know,
exactly.
When you look at the major world religions, when you count the various denominations, sects, cults, schisms, and isms, it's over 183,000.
They're nothing but mind control institutions.
Yeah,
seemingly
that's all
they are.
Right, seemingly the whole world is full of conflicting ideas about spiritual truths. You know, based on these religious set differences. I mean, for example, the Christian religion, with its thousands of denominations and sects, has the largest number of adherents. You know, at almost 2 billion.
Exactly.
You know, and
it's amazing.
Right. But it's full of, it's full of various contradictions, you know, and ideas about God, you know, and
you know,
and the crazy thing is that not even traditional Christianity really knows who and what God is.
I have listened to some Asiatic sisters were talking about, I wonder if they're going to make Samson a black man. No, I'm just sitting there. These are relatives of mine, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm laughing. I'm just laughing, brother, because the man never did exist.
Exactly. But they believe. And that's a very strong thing about beliefs because it deals with the power of the mind.
Right.
So you can produce a thought form or bring a thought form into existence based off your perception. You know, however, you know, when the truth is revealed or when the truth or the layers of lies are peeled back and the truth is revealed, that thought form dissipates, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it has no real substance to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's so much, you know, of the cause of this confusion is simply that human beings try to figure out and reason for themselves what God nature really is. But God already told you what it is based on that man is made in the image and after the likeness of God. And it's not the physical body per se. It's talking about the mind. The mind is what produces images and likenesses.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what people don't realize. And so, see, that's why when you go in depth into the power of the mind, that's when you're really going to find where God is created at. You know what I'm saying? God is created by man in the mind and vice versa.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But we're going to get more into that. You know, we don't really get more into that. And people, you know, there's many things in which that the mind of man believes, the mind of man has conceived. But these things basically are always based, you know, are not always based on truth. 500 years ago, so-called Europeans believed that the sun revolved around the earth and that the earth was flat. You know, this belief was basically accepted until proven otherwise. You know, the Earth has always revolved around the sun, and it was always round. This is reality.
Exactly.
You know, the only thing that has changed is people's understanding of this reality.
Right. It's not insane. The majority of the population is almost on the brink of insanity.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, some people are not insane, but you look at them the way they talk about religion and their belief systems, and then, you know, I'm thinking, I said, well, are they insane?
Well, that's because people refuse to accept new beliefs simply because it contradicts their present belief system. You know, because what mother and father or grandma and granddaddy told them as children. But mommy
exactly.
and daddy, grandmother and grandfather was never historians. They were never scholars. They were never theologians. They never really sat down and read the whole Bible actually all the way through. Majority of them have never done that. You know, they've gone to church and listened to two or three passages every Sunday that the preacher would then hoop and holler around and never get to any meat, but because you love the hooping and hollering or because you love the choir singing, you know, you stayed there for damn 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 damn years in that setting, mm-hmm. calling it fellowshipping, because you shouldn't have then gained no goddamn knowledge.
No, sir. Not at all.
Right. So to continue to believe in a proven falsehood is detrimental to the believer. You know, one must never, you know, be afraid to evaluate new information or accept it if it is proven to be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but our people are scared. And so this is where this European mindset, this mind control aspect of this series came on, the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, by the ending or the finale, Jesus is white.
Always.
You know. You know, so when we go into the Bible, you know, you have to go into Adam and Eve. You know, that's the beginning. That's Genesis. That's why it starts with Genesis or your genealogy or your genes, because mm-hmm. Adam and Eve symbolizes that process of transforming from an atom to a molecule to a cell, you know, and a gigantic molecule is DNA, hence
wow.
your genes. So this is where you really find the transformation of this storyline right in the Bible, and what it's really talking about is your own DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what it is that in light of this fact, you know, we must be willing to evaluate the old belief system, and even if it means exploring the myths that we have served as our very foundation. But people fear instability. They fear change. Therefore, it's natural for them to resist the destruction of their own old belief system until they have accepted belief system to replace the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't have no problem with replacing the bullshit that you have learned and grown into all your life with the information in which that only metaphysics, from what I've studied, has been able to bring light to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, esoteric information.
Exactly.
Is the only thing in which has been able to decode symbolism, whether it's from the wars of ancient Egypt, Kemet or Tamaray, as you refer to it as, to the language now that we have used, in which that has been utilized as wordplay or technology. The only way in order to delve into the symbolism or this dialect or language is to be able to metaphysically or esoterically decode it. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, there's no other way around it. You know, so, you know, when we get into real information, we want to break down the fact of what we just finished talking about.
Okay.
That out of South Africa, it dated back to 2.8 billion years ago, these spears, which are not
wow.
natural objects, and their origin is unknown. And the reason why I say it is unknown is because it was metallic or some type of iron in which that was never found on the planet Earth as of yet. But 2.8 billion years ago, of course, there was things in which that exist then in which that we have no remnants of today. You know?
Right.
But they obviously was created by intelligent beings. This is what Forbidden Archaeology, The Hidden History of the Human Race by Michael Creedmoor and Richard L. Thompson speaks of. Now, this far dates far dates your Bible, which is only 6,000 years ago with the Adam and Eve story. You know, that's as old as the Bible goes back to, is 6,000 years. All right? Historically.
Right.
Now, these stories, you would have to say, okay, well, how do they know about there was an Adam and Eve? Well, they understand the principle of male and female, masculine and feminine, mm-hmm. yin and yang, positive and negative, electrical and magnetic. So they understood these principles, you know, and that's how they started those particular scriptures out. But when you look at Adam, you actually have to go back to ancient Egypt, Kemetic, Temerian story of Atum, in which the Atum emerged on the mound from out of Nun.
Hmm.
All right? And he was the self-created one. All right? He actually was called the Great He She. This is why, by Genesis, the fifth chapter, it says that male and female, he named them both Adam.
Right.
In other words, male and female was named Adam because, coming from the Pehemheru text, which is known as the Book of Coming Forth by Day and Night, misnomer by Wallace E. Budge to be the Book of the Dead, it states in there that Adam, or Atum, was the great he-she. So he-she, male and female, both their names were Atum.
Mm-hmm.
And Atum emerged from out of the state of Nun, which is primordial waters. And he
That's where they got the hermaphrodite.
Right, exactly, androgynous. And from out of this state, he produced, as being a self-created one, he produced Shu and Tefnut. Shu and Tefnut produced Gab and Nut. Gab and Nut produced Asar or Set, Set and Nephet. All right? And Asar and Nephet produce what is known as Anpu or Anubis. And Asar and Aset produce Heru. Now, so out of that comes the pantheon of the Akkadad and the Enyad, or Enyad, which is 8 and 9. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The principles of the 8 and the principles of the 9. There's no coincidence that at the base of your spine, you have 8 dividing cells of mitosis, which
wow.
are the pores in which that forms your physical body into existence. And these are the only cells in your body that never changes the whole entire time of your lifespan.
Hmm.
So all 76 trillion cells in your body changes every 7 years. However, those 8 cells never change because that is the original template of all of the cells in your body.
Wow.
Now, that's no coincidence because Atum symbolizes the producer of those 8 cells, or those 8 children, Shu, Tefnut, Geb, Nut, Asar, Aset, Set, and Nephet. Those 8 children in which that was born. In other words, that one Adam, or that one head of the sperm, blew up to the equivalent size of the ovum, or the nucleus of the egg, and began a process known as mitosis, in which that these 8 dividing cells form blastopores in which that formed the physical body into existence, right there at the base of the spine. This is also the abode of the Kundalini, or what is known as the Kundalini Shakti energy, in which that it resides there too. So,
exactly.
When we get into the Bible, there's different layers of the Bible. You know, the Bible itself, when you break it down, it actually means Helios, Biblios. That's what
right.
the word Holy Bible means. Helios Biblios. That is the Greco-Latin terminology for the word. But when you go back, all right, you have to go back and you actually have to go back to ancient Kemet once again. You just can't get away from Egypt because Egypt is the birthplace of this information in a sense. You know, or the hub, as some would say, Africa is the birthplace I would say that Egypt is more so the mouthpiece of
exactly mm-hmm.
of African philosophy. All right, and from this African philosophy came forth what they became, or what the summarized, or what the summary is termed the Bible. All right, as we've been saying, the word helios, biblios, but that comes from the Egyptian word or Kemetic or Temerian word of Ra papyrus or paper Ra. Ra paper Ra, because the word helios means sun.
Exactly.
In which that stems from the word halo, in which that stems from the Egyptian word haru or heru. The word biblios comes from the word babala or babio or babilios, in which that stems from, which is Latin, in which that stems from the ancient Egyptian word or Kemetic or Temerian word papyra, a papyrus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we talk about Heru papyrus or Ra papyrus, because Heru is actually the form, is the new form of old Ra.
Well, Ra papyrus, Ra would be the sun, and papyrus be paper or
right,
book.
So it means the sun book.
Wow.
So the word Bible, Holy Bible, it means sun book. That's what it means. It means the sun book or the pages or the sun pages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that makes sense because it starts with Genesis, which means your genes, and then it ends with the book of Revelation, which means to reveal that which obviously is in your genes, which only come by way of the sun itself. The only way to reveal what is encoded inside of your genes is by you stepping out into the sun. Because the sun is light, and light has message codes. And these message codes, when it intertwines with your DNA, awakens and activates your DNA,
mm-hmm.
which are your ancestral memories or your ancestral data bank, in which that give you access to not just past lives, but also to memories of your ancestors, in which that you are a concentration of, seven generations on your mother's side, seven generations on your father's side.
Exactly.
So you have access to ancestors. All right. Now, for those who don't want to believe me, we go to the Holy Bible, Galatians, the 4th chapter, 21st through the 26th verse. And it goes into the 24th verse in particular. It says, which things are an allegory? And it's talking about Abraham, his two sons, which is Isaac. And Ishmael, his two wives, in which that is Hagar and Sarai, or Sarah. And Abraham, it states, for all of them, these things are an allegory.
Right.
Now, when you look up the word allegory, you know that allegories are intentionally chosen as a means for communicating knowledge. Allegories dramatize cosmic law, principles, processes, relationships, and functions, and express them in a way that is easy to understand. Once the inner meaning of the allegory has been revealed, they become marvels of scientific and philosophical completeness and conciseness. But it's only after then, once you decode these particular allegories, will you get that. So, another interesting thing is we go to the Holy Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 6. It says, he who has revealed the book to thee, some of his verses are decisive. They are the basis of the book, and others are allegorical. So here go the word allegorical used again, not just in the Bible, but the Quran. The Bible, the Holy Quran is 73% of the Bible. The other 27% comes from the Apocrypha, which are certain books in which that was taken out of the Bible, as well as also the lost books of the forgotten books of the lost books of the Bible and the forgotten books of Eden.
You know, you can't tell a lot of Muslims that.
Right, and also the Aves Vesta, the Aven Vesta, which is the Zoroastrian text.
Mm.
This is where the rest of the Holy Quran comes from. It's from those three other books in particular. So this is what it says. So these and others are allegorical. It says, then those in whose heart is perversity follow parts of it, which is allegorical. So see, right now we got people following the parts in which that's allegorical, and being that these preachers, pastors, reverends, you know, or as we say, Pastor Pork Chop, Reverend Rib, and whatever else, that these individuals are not telling the people the real truth and science, and they are taking them along this road of making these allegorical things historical. You know, they have anthropomorphized these characters, you know, these particular play characters, and made them living beings from the past. And but these are actual allegories.
Right.
And that's what it says. It says seeking to mislead and giving it their own interpretation. And none knows it interpretation except Allah and those firmly rooted in knowledge.
Hmm.
This is what the Quran says.
Yes, sir.
So we know that there are those who have perversity in their hearts, who is following the allegories and leading those into these allegorical stories and giving it their own interpretations.
Mm.
Now, when you go to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and look up the word allegory, it says the expression by means of symbolic fictitious figures and actions of truths and generalizations about human existence. Once again, it says the expression by means of symbolic fictitional figures. Now, what do fictitional symbolic fictitional figures mean? What it means is that fictitional figures means that they never physically existed.
Exactly.
So if Abraham never physically existed, that means Jesus never physically existed. That means Moses never physically existed. That means David, Solomon never physically existed. That means Muhammad never physically existed because he claims to come from Ishmael. And there go your Christianity, Judaism, and Islam in that particular fashion.
That's it.
Decimated. Destroyed within 10 minutes of me talking. By your own book.
All three of them. Kill three birds in one stone, or
gone. Now you have to find a better interpretation for the bullshit that you've been led to believe all your life. So let me give you the better version, since I've done destroyed your bullshit. Now, let's get into what Adam actually was. Adam was created on the sixth day. Well, the atom in which that your physical body is formed from is carbon, which is the sixth element, which is the sixth element on the periodical chart. So it wasn't a day. The sixth day atom was made. It was the sixth element that atom was made from, which is carbon, the carbon atom.
Mm-hmm.
In which that formed your physical body into existence. You are a carbon unit.
Wow.
Carbon atomic structure. So hence you are an atomite, as an atomic being. Okay? So now you know what atom actually means. Eve means evolution. The evolutionary process of a subatomic particle to a atom, to a molecule, to a, which is DNA, to a cell, to tissue.
Wow.
To flesh. Or muscles and flesh. That is the evolution. That is Eve, symbolic to evolution. Talking about from the subatomic state to the tangible seeing state in which that you are now. That is Eve. And that process comes through the through what is known as love. So this is why you see evolution and you see the word love spelled backwards. They are simultaneous or connected.
Exactly.
All right, we know L-O-V-E, and then E-V-O-L is what? The word evolve. E-V-O-L is love spelled backwards. And so E-V-O-L, and you put an E on the end, is the word evolve.
Peace, so, brother.
That is the science of Eve. Okay? So hence Adam and Eve was made at the same time. Hence they both names was Adam. That is actually what it's talking about. And then the Bible gave you another clue about the book of Revelations to reveal what was the wisdom of man. It says he would know the number of the beast, which is 666. Well, carbon, which is the sixth element on the periodical chart, just happens to have six protons, six neutrons, six electrons. No coincidence. Okay? So, that is the signs of Adam and Eve. All right? So, let's continue on. Now, was Adam made first? Yes, Adam came first before the formation of the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
But was the formation of the physical body that of man or was that of woman?
That
well,
woman.
It was that of woman, whose body was made of atoms. So hence, in that sense, yes, Adam did become before Eve. And Eve was made from the rib of Adam. Guess what the rib was? You heard of ribosome? Ribonucleic acid? Read the words, y'all. Ribonucleic acid or ribosome, the word ribosome is spelled R-I-B-O-S-O-M-E-S, ribosomes. Now, the first part of that, which is the root word, starts with the word rib. Coincidence? I think not.
But
then ribonucleic acid, the word ribonucleic acid, which is RNA, also starts with R-I-B. And then you have DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid, which once again, root is R-I-B. So this is no coincidence. That is the rib in which that Eve was made from Adam. Once again, we're talking about the elements. Not
exactly.
An actual rib. This is the reason why man and woman has the same amount of ribs. See, this is what happens when Negroes take shit literal. They can't explain this shit and sound like fucking idiots. But when you get scientific and know what you're really studying, you already learned this shit in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Exactly.
But because you have a fragmented mind, you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together.
No, that I can't.
This is why you have to meditate, because meditation brings those missing keys and ways that you have learned in your life together in order to start giving you some answers, to start giving you channeled information from the Akashic Records, which is the Universal Library. This is what's really going on. And see, and the only reason why I'm acting like this is because I'm tired of the fucking bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of the idioticy of religions and people trying to persuade one another to their particular belief system, but yet they themselves can't explain shit.
No, they cannot. No.
And this is just the truth of the matter. You know, I wish I could be more fair and gentle, you know, but it's not time for that any longer.
No, it's not. It's a new age.
You know,
now.
We're in the age of knowing now. We have stepped outside of the age of the mortals, which is the age of Pisces. We're now in the age of Aquarius. We from out of the age of the Kali Yuga, and now we're in the Sata Yuga.
Exactly.
We are in the age of Heru. All right? We are in the age of Heru. We have left the age of Sebek. All right? So now we have to deal with the real truth. Let's go to another famous biblical character that everyone loves the story of, Moses. Yes, Moses.
A lot of them can't tell you what Moses means.
Oh, yeah. Moses or Musa or Moshe or Moshiach. Yeah, you know, they love the Hebrew, Arabic. They love, you know, being able to, you know, speak in other tongues and speak so eloquently, but yet, even when they speak in tongues or, you know, speak other languages, they still can't explain shit. They still have the same historical interpretation as the next person. I know people who speak Hebrew, who speak Arabic. Hell, I do myself. But yet they can't explain no different than a Christian. The story still sounds the same. Speaking Hebrew and Arabic, they haven't learned any damn thing.
None of
that
same mind control.
They have the same literal interpretation of the scriptures.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No esoteric science in it whatsoever.
No, not.
None. And this is the foolishness. This is really foolish.
Yeah, you see and hear this every day.
Right. Now, you might say, well, what can I do with my information that you can't do with that literal historical information? Well, number one, I ain't got to believe Moses split the Red Sea 4,000 years ago. When I understand the science of the splitting of the Red Sea, I understand that the Red Sea is actually talking about bloodstream. And what caused the to-and-fro action or the splitting in between of the Red Sea is actually talking about my heart. So the splitting of the Red Sea is actually talking about the pumping motion of my heart. That is something that I have to deal with every single day as a living being. Not listening to a story from 4,000 years ago in which that is simply conveying a message.
Exactly.
Okay, so when we're talking about Moses as a babe and he's being put in a basket sealed with slime and being sent up the river, the Nile River, to be picked up by the daughter of Pharaoh and being raised in the Egypt for 40 years, you know, as a prince of Egypt and so forth and so on, you know, all of that is talking about the sperm. Because that's what that basket in slime symbolizes, the sperm encased inside the semen,
mm-hmm.
being sent up the river, which is the vaginal canal, the waters of the vaginal canal. And then the pharaohess, or the daughter of Pharaoh, picks up the child. It's talking about the ovum, the ovary and the ovum. And then the sperm breaking off the tail, and then the head of the sperm blown up to the equivalent size of the ovum or the nucleus of the egg and going through mitosis, as we just finished talking about. So really what you're really getting into the science of is the triple stage darkness, which is the three trimester periods of pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
First 3 months,
wow.
The second 3 months, and the third 3 months, going into the 10th month, which is actually what? 40 weeks.
Well, peace, God.
Right. So there it is. 40 weeks is talking about the 40 years in which that Moses was raised in Egypt. Egypt symbolizes the lower self, which is talking about the womb of the woman. That's what it's really talking about. It's talking about the life process. But see, you, because Negroes can't decode the stories. They're more interested in Moses splitting the Red Sea.
That's it.
And why the red? And then why did it turn red?
They're
worrying about the damn inundation process, in which that happens every year, every annual year. You know, I think it's near the month of July, in between July and September, there in the Nile River, and why it turns red every year because of the of a particular fungi. In which that turns it to that particular color. So they're more interested in his, you know, instead of understanding what the story actually means, they get caught up into why the Nile River itself is doing that, instead of understanding the birthing process of one's own self, of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the foolishness, once again,
yes,
that we're caught up in.
Yes, sir.
So here we know that Moses never existed, and that Moses actually was taken from various places in stories. Sargon the first, brother Sargon the first of Assyria. If you go and read his story about Sargon the first, you see that 1,000 years before the Moses story, he had the exact same birth story. That he was sealed in a basket of slime, and that he was sent up the river.
Exact same story.
Exact same story, 1,000 years before the Moses story. So this was a very common story for over 1,000 years, obviously, because Negroes still believe in this shit to very day.
It's amazing they don't see
it. So here it is. So this story we know is at least 5,000 years old or more. But guess what? It comes from the Boat of Ra. You hear about the story of the Boat of Ra. But when you read about the Boat of Ra, it's about celestial flames, but it's more so about when the sperm travels up the spinal column of the male. So it travels up from the prostatic fluid into the spinal fluid, then into the cerebral fluid. And that is the traveling up the Nile. The Nile symbolizes the spinal column. Okay?
Wow.
So as the sperm travels up the spinal column, it goes into the third ventricle of the brain to receive the spark of God, the light of God, so that now as it travels back down to rest within the scrotum sac or rest within the testes to be gushed forth, all of the other sperms know who the Christ is. They all know who the Christ is because he has the largest, he has the most light around his head. Look at sperm
exactly.
Under a microscope, and you will see the one in which that is the most living is the one in which that has the most light around his head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not battle. It's more like a football team. And the sperm is waging war against the germs within the woman's vaginal canal in order to get the Christ to the area to come here to be birthed.
Mm.
Guess what? You were it.
Wow.
So you are the Christ in living form. Stop that shit. About some goddamn mythical white man coming out the damn sky, coming to save you from damn clouds. It was a goddamn horse riding a fucking peck of this. No fucking damn white man coming out no sky to save you. The cracker can't save your ass here on the planet Earth now. And don't want to save your ass. He got concentration camps for your ass. The hell you talking about some goddamn dumb shit about this cracker coming out the damn sky for you? What the hell is going on?
Oh, man.
Man, we damn look at how silly we sound.
Exactly. Man, it's
we
pathetic.
We really look how silly we sound, man.
It's pathetic.
Yes, it's pathetic. And it's a fucking atrocity.
It is.
For us to keep thinking in this way. It's so detrimental to our belief system and to our mental health. So I really don't know what else to say.
Sometimes
you
I got
see,
to laugh
I
and keep crying.
Because the fact I can decode these stories because it's in my DNA. I know enough science. These crackers told me enough science in science class. They told me enough. I know enough of the Metuneta off the walls of Egypt. I know enough Hebrew. I know enough Arabic. I know enough English in order to put this shit together. And not have someone to damn and not have someone dependent upon me, you know what I'm saying, as if I'm Pastor Pork Chop.
That is really sad.
Yeah, that's sad.
Like I said, I got to laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, bro, but if I was taking niggas' money, though, if I was up in the church, saying, and the Lord said, in the name of Jesus, I was doing that. Goddamn, them niggas be giving me money every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every week. And I want the money that flows. I don't want the change. You keep that. I was doing some of that good hooping and hollering. Oh, best believe the niggas wanted to give me some money.
Oh, yeah.
But when I tell the truth, niggas want free shit.
No. We'll take you crazy or lost your mind.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But they get a preacher in a robe. A reverend in a robe, a bishop in a robe, or archbishop molesting children in a robe. Oh, they give them motherfuckers their money.
Oh, they'll follow that.
Oh, yeah, they follow a child molesting archbishop.
Follow them all the way to hell.
Yeah, the Catholics got 2 billion followers. Well, at least 1.5 billion by their damn selves.
That's right, they got them all sold up.
Another billion, of so-called Protestants. And the fact that the Protestants don't know that they came from the Catholics is even some more foolish shit.
It is.
But they swear that they're so different. But
no,
their daddy
not.
Is still the Pope.
And they still
Martin
pay
Luther,
homage to the Pope.
Right. Martin Luther nailed those, the so-called thesis on the Wittenberg Church because he disagreed with the Pope. And therefore, he got excommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still part of the Catholic belief system.
still abundant.
Right. So the only thing he disagreed with, well, it looked like y'all selling the tears of Jesus, but you can't have the tears of Jesus because the nigga died 2,000 years, well, during that time, 500 years ago, according to y'all.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Actually, 1,500 years ago, you know, because that was around the time when Martin Luther King was around 1500s.
Right.
He came around that time, Martin Luther King.
Right.
Came around that time period. So he nailed the so-called thesis on the Wittenberg Church, and that caused an uproar during that time in which that formed the Protestant movement. And based on the Protestant movement, you know, the so-called Protestants are protesters, because that's what the word Protestant means, protesters. That's all you actually are, protest. You protest the Pope, but yet you still don't know what the hell you were protesting.
That's right.
Because the word Catholic or Catholicism means universal. So they're still saying that they're the universal church. But really the reason why they say the universal church is because they worship the holy cat, which is actually talking about the Sphinx, which is the ancient mysteries of Egypt, or Kemet or Tamaray.
Wow.
So that is actually the cat in which they worship, which is right there on the Giza Plateau, in which that they hide the truth from the people. This is why now they have over 2 million books and scrolls and tablets, you know, underneath the Vatican, you know, sealed, you know, by guards and damn steel doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, exactly. So, I mean, these are the individuals that you're playing with, you know, when it comes to your soul and its salvation. And the fact is that most don't even know what the soul is, but yet they talk about Pastor Pork Chop is going to save this soul is something else. Which that we have to get into. But when we go through the stories of this Adam and Eve, when we go through Moses, you know, we have to continue going on through another one, which is David.
Mm-hmm.
David was another prophet, as we would say, in which that, of course, he wanted Bathsheba and therefore put her husband on the front line and had him killed.
Mm-hmm. But, exactly.
That's the only time that they want to say that was a story or... When Moses killed the two Hebrews, you know, they don't want to see the prophets as negative people, you know, but yet, you know, each story, if you notice, has a moral to it. All right, Adam and Eve, look at that story. Adam blamed Eve. Well, God, you gave it to me. So by him placing blame, he was not being accountable for his actions, his ways.
Exactly.
Being responsible, so therefore he lost his guideship. He lost his communication to God, so therefore he got cast out of the Garden of Eden. Same thing with Moses. By him killing the two Hebrews, he produced murder, just like Cain produced murder. He was a murderer after his father on that lineage based
exactly.
on the Bible mm-hmm. story. And then, of course, David, you know, producing and murder also just to get a woman, you know, that he wanted, you know. So, I mean... These are your prophets that you are looking at, you know, because they have the flaws of men. You know, men do these things, you know, and that was the flaw. That was what these stories was actually showing you.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why you use those stories is in order to master your morality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what these stories are for, to show you how flawed your personality is, you know, as a man or woman, and how you must think on a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And even these so-called prophets in which that you are given so much homage to, but yet you never seen them. There is no burial ground for them. And actually, in all truthfulness, they never physically existed because they are fictitious, symbolic, fictional characters in which that symbolizes a hidden spiritual truth.
That's right.
So I'm here giving you the spiritual truths of the matter because people are getting caught up into these particular Bible stories, once again, based on the series in which that just came out. So I want to go in-depth about this. And so we're looking at David. You know that David David and Moses both was based on Akhenaten, or Unc-Unten. All right? You know that Psalms 104 is identical to Amenhotep III and the Amenhotep the fourth, which is Akhenaten Akhenaten, him and his hymns.
Hmm.
Right, you know they are identical to Akhenaten hymns, Akhenaten hymns in Psalms 104. And there's several other ones in which that are identical to his hymns. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Amenhotep III, who is Akhenaten's father, which is Amenhotep IV, he wrote hymns in which that is very familiar to what David and Solomon wrote.
Hmm.
Well, we know that these characters are composite characters. So not only did Moses symbolize Akhenaten because he was the so-called monotheistic father. In other words, he brought the one belief system of Aten together, which is actually Alcyon, which is actually the central sun of the Pleiades. That's what he was actually talking about, the greater sun behind our sun, which is thousands of times larger than our sun, which sits at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. That's what he was trying to get y'all to understand, was actually this new age in which that was coming upon us now, in which that Alcyon, which that we are moving closer towards Alcyon,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we're coming out of the dark rift and going into the inner arm band of the photon belt near Alcyon, going towards Alcyon. So that's what he actually was pointing us towards. That's what Akhenaten or Akhenaten was pointing us towards. But he symbolizes that Moses character or that monotheistic belief system in that regard. But he also symbolized David and Solomon, Amenhotep III and Amenhotep IV, which is Akhenaten or Amenhotep. In that regard, too. So their whole storylines is based on these particular actual characters, people who actually existed, the 18th dynasty, as a matter of fact. But Moses, David, Solomon never since they existed. But Amenhotep III and Akhenaten, which is Amenhotep IV, did exist. Moses also symbolizes Thutmose III. All right. Who was part also of the 18th dynasty. So they had the various characters. This is what the Jews did, was drafted their stories from the various Negus or pharaohs at that particular time period. And they drafted them. You know, their history, their storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is where they get this is why when you read the scriptures, you got to know the source of these particular individuals. So that you won't get confused. Okay, then of course, another individual is, of course, Abraham. Abraham came from the land of Chaldees and came from the land of Ur, which means fire. And he comes all the way from out of Mesopotamia, and he goes into Egypt. Okay? As we said, even in the storyline of the Bible, in Galatians, the fourth chapter, specifically states that Abraham was a fictional character.
So, wow.
That he did not exist, that it was
right.
An allegory. So we know that the story of Abraham, we know his story, that he was going to sacrifice, a human sacrifice, that he's going to humanly sacrifice his son. All right, Isaac. The Jews say that it was Ishmael. All right? I say both of them are crazy. Because anyone practicing human sacrificing don't understand the real power of the universe. And that everything is born forth of the universe. So why go through a secondary source?
Right.
When you can absorb the energies of the cosmos, you don't have to kill a thing. Okay, when people want to run around killing human beings, blood sacrifices. Matter of fact, a damn rap star just got in trouble this past week with trying to kill his friends to sacrifice when he can get damn rap stardom.
Wow.
Because he know about the information about the blood sacrifices, so he want to be able to get into that arena.
Wow.
That's a Negro who don't understand the real sciences.
No, he don't. He really doesn't.
But if you study Qigong, Tai Chi, Reiki, Pranic Healing, the energy modalities, these various arts, you can tap right into the universal energy without any medium besides for you and your melanin. your mind, your melanin, and the sun, all three acting in conjunction with each other in order to bring forth life. So there's no sacrifice in that regard because the energy of the universe is abundant.
Yes, sir.
Of course, Negroes don't understand these principles. Here they are, damn near sacrificing their friends and family members and so forth and so on. Because the story in the Bible tells you the same thing. Abraham, I am God. Let your son Isaac and put his ass on the altar. Yes, get your knife. Yes, get your knife and please plunge it into his heart. Please get away from him. Oh, stop. Please stop, Abraham. I ain't know you that damn serious. They go to ram. Get the ram from out the damn bushes. We call the ram. Put the damn ram on the altar. Now kill that motherfucker. There you go. All right. All right, now have lamb chops in the morning.
Brother, you sure know how to tell it like it is. Yes, sir.
Woo! Yo, this
yes,
is the stupidity of the people. Yeah, get mad, goddamn it! I don't give a fuck. You can't stop this. This is cool. And I ain't telling none of these damn fable, mythical tales to my children, and I ain't gonna let you tell it to your children.
Right.
Y'all down here, around here, down. I'm telling about down Santa Claus coming down the chimney still.
Still stuck on that BS.
Yeah. All these damn fairy tales y'all in. This is nonsense. But, once again, these are the prophets. So, you got murderers, denialers, human sacrificers, and these are your prophets. And the only one making the goddamn profit is Pastor Red Chop.
Oh, boy. There's something else.
Oh, isn't it?
Oh, boy. You're so hilarious, man. That's bad.
One brother's in the room said American Negroes looks aggressive into the knowledge. Well, I ain't got time to massage these niggas. They want a Swedish massage or some Rofin. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're going to get some deep tissue massaging from me, if it's anything. I'm going to go deep into them.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. This is, Brother L, this is what's going on.
It is.
Yeah, this is what's going on.
It's fantastic. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So,
they're like just sitting at a movie theater just watching it all, you know.
Yeah, watching it all, brother. Watching it all.
Man.
You know, everything just taking place and our people just acting as silly as hell.
And lost
see, when they go into real Abraham, then they will find out that the word Abraham isn't even a Hebrew word. And scholars will tell you that it's not a Hebrew word. It actually is an ancient Egyptian word. The word Ab means heart or father. The word Ra means sun or light. The word Ham means black.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have the father of the black sun, which is talking about actually melanin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason why you read the story about Abraham gave a tenth of all he had to Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Melchizedek symbolizes the 90%. Abraham symbolizes the 10%, which is 100% usage of your brain. Scientists say that if you only use about 10% of your brain, so that means that you are operating off the Abraham effect. The other 90% goes unused, which is the Melchizedek effect, which is alter ego. No coincidence that we only see about 10% of the visible spectrum of the universe, and the other 90% is called dark matter. No coincidence that you only use about 10% of your DNA, and the other 90% is dormant, inactive. These are no coincidences, because it shows that you only are a portion of yourself. You have the potential or the potentiality of God, but you'd rather operate at only a 10% aspect or less.
Yeah.
And this is what Abraham symbolized. This is why all of your prophets did these particular things: murder, denial, irresponsibility, non-accountability.
All that.
Right. This is why all your prophets did these particular things, is because they symbolize a person trapped within utilizing less than 10% of their brain. And
yep.
You Negroes are just as happy about that as anything on earth.
Yeah, they're content with that.
As long as you can go get you a coach bag, you're happy.
That's
as
it.
As long as you can go
something.
See Ringling Brothers Circus, you're happy.
They accomplish something.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying that you're not supposed to do anything on planet Earth. I'm just saying that when you start thinking that these things are more important, you know, than your spiritual worth, then that is a problem.
Yeah.
And you have definitely sacrificed yourself upon that altar of Abraham. You sacrificed your whole spiritual soul body upon that altar. Some to the effect of actually becoming earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something else in which that, you know, we can get into it at a later discussion. But
right.
Let's continue on with the story of Abraham. We know that Abraham and his wife Sarah actually was called Abram and Sarai prior to that. Well, guess what? Within Hinduism, we have Brahma and Brahman,
yes.
In which that his wife, Brahma's wife, was named Saraswati.
Ain't that
so when you look at Abraham and Sarai, they actually are derivative of Brahma and Saraswati. These are Hindu deities. Now, in ancient Egypt, what is the connection? You actually have Ra and Rayet.
All the same.
That is where the story of Brahma and Saraswati comes from, as well as the later biblical story of Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai, comes from Ra and Rayet. That's why Abraham had to go into Egypt, is because he symbolized where that story comes from. So as you see, it was in Mesopotamia, which is going towards India. However, they had to bring it back to where it was actually derived from, which was in Egypt. This is why he came from out of the land of Ur and went into Egypt, is because they know where the story derived from. So when you look at the Ra and Rayet, you will see that they are the creator and the creatress of the universe, and that they symbolize the oldest energy in the universe, which is known as prana or chi or ki energy, and that from them is what produced everything that we can see, touch, taste, and smell into existence or apparent reality. Everything that is tangible or intangible, they produced.
Man.
So this is where these stories come from. This is why it says that Abraham and Sarai, Abraham is known as the father of many nations.
Huh.
Because it's talking about how Ra and Rayet brought things from out of the invisible, untangible state into the visible, tangible state. The nation symbolizes the elements in which they have formed everything into existence. That means everything from hydrogen down into the heaviest element on the periodical chart, which several of them are man-made.
Yeah. Exactly.
So everything stems from Atan, which is actually, in a sense, actually the first element on the periodical chart, which is hydrogen, actually. And even hydrogen is actually broken down into two elements itself. Hydro means water, gen means fire. So when water and fire came together, which is hydrogen, it formed all the other elements into existence, different combinations of them.
Okay.
Just like the word oxygen, the word oxy means air, the word gen means fire. So water and fire brought forth by the eighth element, air and fire.
Wow.
So this is where you get these sciences from, actually. And I can continue going on, but I'm not, because I've already done enough clowning as it is. So let's get back into this this information here. So as you see, Abraham is much more than what your biblical story have you thinking, or what the Bible on the History Channel have you believing.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything that you might see on National Geographic or any of these other stations in which they love to put your leg on what is really real on planet Earth. You know, except what's real to them is their white concept. They love that. Yes. Yes, they'll give you that all day long in order to make you believe it.
They still will.
Right. You know, but that's why these Negroes are not, that's why they're Nagas like me, in which they don't allow for that to happen.
No, sir.
All right? So, you know, so when we get into the next one, let's go into, well, let me see. We done went through Adam and Eve, went through Abraham, went
right.
through David, went through Moses.
Right.
We did a little bit of with David, we did a little bit of Solomon. I ain't really go all the way in depth with Solomon, but Solomon actually, in a sense, actually symbolizes Akhenaten or Akhenaten, who's the wisest man. And, of course, Akhenaten was seen as that, too, at that time, for him abolishing the Amun Ra sect and producing the Aten sect, in which that, of course, the Amun priesthood did not like that, but, you know, that's something in which that he did. And so that caused his demise, or that ended up being plagued by the demons, in which that is also shown in the book of, you know, in the Tale of Solomon. And, of course, they tell you that it was because of women, him having 1,000, you know, women, you know, 700 concubines, 300 wives.
Oh, that's the mainly astrology.
Right, of course.
Dealing with the stars of the universe.
Right, those were the stars in which that was that they was able to count at that time period, as well as also 1,000 petals of the lotus leaf, which is actually the crown chakra.
Oh man, come on!
In which that when it's open, it bestows wisdom. So that is no coincidence. Once again, so
that's
the
right.
1,000 women. Don't get confused about that, y'all. You know that Negro cannot go on through all 1,000 of them women, okay? I know, and, you know, right. I'm sorry for all you Mr. Masculine ones. I know. Walt Chambers. I know. I know. He said he fucked 50,000. I know.
That's what he said.
I know he did, but I mean, that was hell, and that wasn't on no everyday basis either. He ain't had no 300 wives.
So how did he do it?
Okay, I mean, you know, he was estimating, you know, over a lifetime.
So you gotta look at it now, right?
Allegedly, you know, but you know, Walt was 7 feet tall.
But he's not living now, though.
Right, right. He ain't living now because that life force was sucked out of him now. God damn. But anyway, 1,000, you know what I'm saying, once again, symbolizes your crown chakra. You have 1,000 lotus petals, in which that once is activated at the top of your head, it symbolizes the opening of flowering of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, in particular wisdom. In which that Solomon symbolized the word soul, Amun. The word soul means son. The word Amun symbolizes Amen as in Amen Ra. So actually, Solomon actually is nothing more than a word for Amen Ra, which that means hidden sun.
Right.
All right, so let's get that out the way. And the hidden sun is talking about your soul inside of the pineal gland. The soul is hidden inside of the pineal gland or embedded inside of the pineal gland. All right, that's where the soul is. For those who don't know, inside of the pineal gland is where the soul is. That's the seat of the soul, is the pineal. So therefore, Solomon or Amen-Ra symbolizes the soul. So when you think about Amen-Ra and everybody is saying Amen at the end of their prayers, they're talking about the reason why that is used is because it activates the soul. It's the Om principle. The tone
wow.
activates the pineal gland, the Om sound.
Wow. Oh God, teach that science.
Right.
There you go.
So that's the reason why Christian Muslims and Jews all say
exactly what you do.
Right. And that's to activate the soul principle. After they have said the prayers, they have said the decrees, the positive affirmations, now it's time to activate the soul hidden inside of the pineal. Hence, to tap into their Amen-Ra, their Lord and personal Savior. All right? And so let's continue on. Jesus symbolizes this Amen-Ra principle. All right? I know. Y'all still waiting for white Jesus. Oh, boy. 2,000 years and Negroes still waiting. And this is why the cracker runs the world and you run your mouth.
Waiting for the second coming.
Right. You run your mouth. You know, you play with PlayStations and he builds space stations. Oh. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he runs and dominates the whole damn world and society off of bullshit and lies, and you accept it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Mm. Interesting.
Big time.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Yeah. So, when we're talking about Jesus, you know, let's say he's the last of these, he's one of the last of the prophets here. You know, he's the light of the world. He's the word made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say all these particular sayings, that's good, but they don't really know what they're saying.
No, they
don't. When you go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 22nd verse, it says Jesus was asked by the so-called disciples about, and Jesus said, if your whole body, he said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be filled with light.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say your eyes. He said your eye, one eye, like Cyclops. What is
right.
the Cyclops eye located at? This is the same seat of the soul we're talking about. The word pineal means eye. All right? It's derived from the word pine cone, in which that's the shape of the pineal. It's in the shape of a pine cone. But it has lenses on it. It has 144,000 sand-like particles, magnetic particles, lenses on it. And when the kundalini comes up, it solidifies it and hardens it like a crystal or a diamond. Hence the crystal city mentioned within the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So when people talk about this crystal city, once again, Jehovah's Witnesses got y'all niggas looking at Jesus, white Jesus on the throne again, and him being surrounded by the angels in the damn crystal city.
They just got through a couple of days ago doing a homage to the Passover.
No,
so why do you do the Passover? Well, we honor the Passover like the Jews do. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't know, but they're commemorating the sun passing over the equator.
You're right. That's all it means, the sun passing over the equator, as well as also Esther, or Easter, or Ashtar, you know, is Ishtar, you know, which is Offset or Isis. All of that is the same, which is the Mother Goddess principle, which is talking about the Kundalini energy.
Yes, sir.
The Kundalini energy making a transition from out of the lower nature, which is the four lower devils, into the higher nature, which is the three or the Holy Trinity.
Wow.
Mm. So she's making her cross from out of the root chakra into the navel, into the solar plexus, into the heart, crossing over from the heart into the throat, into the third eye, into the crown. So making the transition from the mortal body into the immortal body.
Mm.
That's what spring symbolizes. Spring means to go forward, to spring up, to ascend. This is why it says that Jesus ascended to his Father who art in heaven and sat on the right-hand side of him. It's talking about the right-hand side. It's talking about the activation of the right hemisphere of the brain.
Mm. Come on,
Bobby. Through the ascension of your Kundalini, which is symbolic to the Black Madonna and Child, which is that Christ force energy in which that is resides at the base of your spine that must be resurrected or must ascend. This is what is the Haim Abib story with the masonry that got hit in the head by the three ruffians, which is talking about the three lower devils, which is talking about your root chakra, your navel chakra, and your solar plexus. Those are the three ruffians that hit the Kundalini, and which is Haim Abib or Heru, M or Ket, which is symbolic to the spirits on the Giza Plateau, but which is symbolic to the Kundalini energy inside of you, in which they got hit in the head, talking about that the energy fell from the head down into the lowest chakras and resided within this grave or tomb.
Wow.
In the north, as they would say, to be resurrected. And who is the three ruffians? Jalon, Jablon, and Jablon.
That's right.
So-called three ruffians. And all of them start with the word Jah, which is talking about a form of Yah or Yahweh. And Yahweh is what forms your physical body into existence. The word Yahweh, which is YHWH with the Yahivahi, which is based on the gematria or numerals of God is 10, He is 5. Va or Wa is 6, He is 5, which comes up to the numeral 26. 2 plus 6 is 8. Once again, talking about the 8 divine cells of mitosis, the 8, same 8 cells which that reside at the base of the mind that never dies.
Mm-hmm.
That remains the same your whole entire lifetime. And that is what forms your physical body into existence. So Yahweh is real. Yahweh forms your physical body into existence. So Yahweh is God, but that is talking about the eight, the divided cells of mitosis, known as your blastocyst pores. That's where I said the base of your spine. The word Yahivahi symbolizes the four amino acids, which that is known as the building blocks of life or protein.
Mm.
You have cytosine, adenine, guanine, and tyrosine. And those are the four elements in which that, which is C, G, A, T, in which that symbolizes Yahivahi. So stop playing. See, I can break this shit down. You ain't gonna never have me back in no foolishness.
Oh, no.
Have me damn looking at no damn white Jesus crying and shit. Put my hands on the damn TV with Oral Robinson. When he told you damn, when he told you damn, talking about the greatest he within you than he that is in the world.
That's a real madness, ain't it, Bubba?
Yeah. No Man. Doubt about it.
Out of their damn minds.
Nope. No doubt about it, bro. So this is the nonsense, you know. So when we look at Jesus, we have to go back to the word Jesus itself, which actually in Aramaic, Old Hebrew, you know, his name is Yahshua or Yahushua, you know what I'm saying? And the key word, the root word, is the word shu. When you look up the word shu in ancient Kemetic traditions, you will find out that he's the first begotten son or the only begotten son of Atum. Now, Jesus is known as the only begotten son in John 3:16, and that whoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. Now, there's no coincidence that Shu is the first and the only begotten son of Atum, and Shu symbolizes the personification of air. Hence, he symbolizes the breath of life.
Mm.
So whoever understands the science or the principles of the breath of life shall have everlasting life. That's what the breath of life or everlasting life symbolizes, because you'll be able to move consciousness from your mortal body into your immortal body, and thus develop what is known as the golden dragon body. So hence, after the death of your physical body, you still exist as a light vehicle.
Right. All right.
Full of your consciousness. Full of consciousness. Knowing everything of all your past lives now. And have knowledge of this life that you just lived. And normally this happens within 3 days after death. This is the same story of the resurrection of Jesus. All right? Of him having developed a transfigured, glorious, or light body. That is talking about the golden dragon body. This is known within the Tibetan traditions, Buddhist traditions, Shaolin traditions, Taoist traditions, and throughout all of the indigenous people on the planet. They have these tales. So this is really what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jesus symbolizes the transformation process of one's mortal body into immortal or immortality, which only comes through the breath. So hence where it says, no one can see the Father, which is talking about the soul inside of the pineal gland, but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's talking about the breath is what causes the kundalini to raise up. That is the breath. The breath symbolizes the sun. The kundalini symbolizes the mother. So hence the Black Madonna and Child together as they ascend and raise up to the Father who art in heaven to awaken him to now be transformed into Heru. So hence are Set and Shu transform Saw, who is passed on. So Shu also symbolizes Tehuti, in which that has passed on, all right, who, just like Hiram Abiffman, hitting his head and is laid in the north.
Right.
The soul is symbolic to being laid in the north because the soul is 3.5, is half asleep inside of the pineal gland. So now the kundalini must awaken it once you awaken her because she's wrapped 3.5 times cord at the base of the spine, half asleep herself.
Uh-huh.
So once she is awakened along with the signs of breath, then the soul is awakened, and because of the magic, divine marriage of heaven, Heru or Christ is formed. This is where Jesus Christ comes from. This is the story of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's about consciousness. We're not talking about no damn cracker coming out no sky for you. I'm sorry. The only sky you're going to see on clouds is talking about your gray and white matter in your brain. That is the white and the gray clouds. It's in your brain. And there's a mm-hmm. section in the brain called a hippocampus area, in which that was known as the white horse. That's what hippocampus means white horse. And that is the white horse on which Jesus is going to ride down on, all right? That's the white horse that Jesus is going to ride down on. It's talking about Pegasus within the Greek tale or within the book of Revelations. That is what it's talking about. So it's talking about the activation of the hippocampus area in the brain. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a gland that used to be there, which that was called the Barrettary gland, in which that gland actually gave you access to your psychic abilities. So all of your abilities in which that you had beyond seeing, tasting, touching, smelling, and hearing, so you will develop psychic chemistry, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairguestance. All right? So this is what this particular gland gives you the ability of. Some had it replaced in what is called the submental area, which is under the chin area. All right, so now you can fill up under the chin area about an inch back or so behind the chin. You can feel like a little ball or ball areas there underneath the chin. That is also called your Barrettary gland. That is where now it has been replaced at within some of us.
Wow.
Right, but that used to be in a hippocampus area. That is Jesus coming out of the clouds or upon the earth. The chin symbolizes the earth of the head. In other words, the lowest or bottom area of their head, all right? While coming out the cloud symbolizes the brain, where it was once. That's where it was once, all right, before our ancestral resurgery, as we would say. All right, so that is the real science,
yeah.
All right? This is what all of this is talking about. Stop, you know, you can't decode these myths, stop teaching this shit to your children. You need to go back and rewind this show over and over again until you get this shit down pat.
Yeah, they do.
And then you will be able to decode the rest of the mythologies the way that it needs to be. Okay, if you don't believe nothing I say, there's books that you can get in order to verify everything I'm saying. You can get the Rosicrucian Mysteries. You can get another book called The Four Gospels Esoterically Interpreted by John P. Scott. All right, you get another book called The Metaphysical Bible Dictionary by Charles Fillmore. You get another one called The 12 Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore and Cora Fillmore. Okay?
What?
You get The Bible Myths by T.W. Dowen, D-O-A-N-E. Okay? You get all these books, and this will help you understand some of the what I'm talking about. You get The Cosmic Sciences of the Ancient Masters by Hilton Otima. You get The Red Dragon by Hilton Otima. You get The Secrets of Regeneration by Hilton Otima. You can get Why Do We Die by Hilton Otima. You get damn near every book by Hilton Otima. You get Jeremiah Massey's Ancient Egypt, The Light of the World.
Exactly.
The Book
That's
of Beginnings
part
by
1 and 2.
Jeremiah Massey. You can get Genesis.
Part 1 and 2.
You know, by Jeremiah Massey.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so these are the things that you need. All right? Now, let's get into what these prophets actually symbolize. Because the least amount of individual, or I should say the least amount of negative attributes were that from Jesus. You know, he showed the least amount of attributes of problems out of all of the prophets previously. Even though it is stated that he did lie, you know, he told Mary Magdalene to go and tell the disciples that he has ascended to his father, who art in heaven. When really, he didn't ascend yet. He was walking around with a gardener's uniform, you know what I'm saying, on that Sunday when she found him outside of the sepulchre. You know, you can find that also in the book of, I think it's in the book of John, you know, one of the four Gospels. So, you know, he told a little white lie. You know, that ain't murder. You know, that ain't, you know, placing blame on someone, you know. So out of that, that might have been the least of out of the morality, you know, things that we actually have gone through tonight. So, therefore, you know, being that he only told a little white lie, he was the least amount of the prophets as far as, you know, as all of them were, you know, and of course Islam sees him as a prophet. Now, when you get into what these prophets actually symbolizes, you'll find out that they symbolize nothing more than your Elohims, or known as the seven Elohims, known as your chakra system, once again. All right, your seven endocrine glands. Adam symbolizes your root chakra, which is the earth element.
Mm-hmm.
Noah symbolizes the water element, which is your navel chakra. Abraham symbolizes your solar plexus. He came from the land of Ur, fire. David symbolizes the word David within Hebrew means beloved. And of course, you love with your heart. And he symbolizes the air element, hence the lungs cover the heart. Moses symbolizes the throat. He said he cannot eloquently speak to the Pharaoh, but then the next scene, he's going to let my people go. Jesus symbolizes the light of the world. And, of course, when your eye be singing, your whole body will be filled with light. Matthew 6, chapter the 22nd verse. So he symbolizes the third eye. And then the one that we did not get a chance to speak about is actually Muhammad, which that symbolizes the crown. So we didn't get a chance to speak about Noah and Muhammad. So let's get to them before we finish this out. Now, Noah, who was also another one of those prophets, and, of course, you know, when you read the story, it tell you about the two animals. You know, they didn't tell you about the seven animals, but the two animals started out, you know, and, of course, that symbolizes the fact that the man is actually the progenitor of the masculine and the feminine seed.
Mm-hmm.
So hence the two animals, or, you know, which looks like tadpoles. So hence, look like amphibians, you know, or reptilians under the microscope. Matter of fact, a frog tadpole and sperm look almost identical under a microscope. All right, so that's the reason why the story of animals was utilized. And, of course, the number six is very prevalent within that story. It was Noah, his wife, his three sons, you know, and their wives. You know, so we got the three sons, their wives, so hence it's six plus Noah and his wife. So hence comes the number eight again, which that is also symbolic to the eight divine cells of mitosis. Mm. And, of course, they was on a boat. So we spoke about the fact of the boat being the boat of Ra. And the word Noah comes also, if you get the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, you would see that it means consciousness. Matter of fact, if you look up the word in Latin, nous, N-O-U-S, in which that the word Noah, which from Hebrew, instead of Noah, you get the word nous, which in Latin means mind. M-I-N-E,
wow.
M-I-N-D, excuse me, means mind.
Mm-hmm.
So Noah actually symbolizes an aspect of the mind or consciousness. That's no coincidence that every 40 days and 40 nights, if you practice this certain Qigong technique in which that you would absorb energy into your dantian, the vagus nerve, which that is all the way down there and near the aorta, you will find that right underneath the belly button, you would see that your navel would begin to stop pumping like a heartbeat.
Hmm.
If you absorb energy and store energy there for 40 days and 40 nights. So that is the flooding in which that must commence. Not an actual flood on the earth as a whole, but it's talking about the body being filled or flooded with prana or chi or ki energy, which symbolizes the waters of life. Okay? And the energy is being stored there at the navel, which symbolizes the water element. So Noah symbolizes the usage of the mind or taking your mind and putting it down at the navel. That's why the word navel means what? Look at the word navel. The word navel comes from the word navy. What is
navy?
What do the navy do?
Navy fell on water.
It fell on water. Thank you. So here you have the navel, and which that symbolizes water also. All right? Nativity, birth, also nation.
Deal with water. Wow.
Right. All of that deals with water. All right, so all of that is talking about your connection to water and land, actually right there connected at your dantian, lower dantian, known as your navel chakra. All right, so that's what Noah actually symbolizes, and that's what the mythology of that was all talking about. Not to get caught up, once again, into Noah, his family, and the boat, and you know, because they showed you right there when he had the covenant of God, they showed God gave him the rainbow as a covenant, and Roy G. Biv symbolizes the colors of the endocrine glands. Red is the root chakra, orange is the navel, yellow is the solar plexus, green is the heart, throat is the sky blue, third eye is indigo, crown is violet. Okay,
wow.
So that's the covenant of the rainbow right there, in which that God gave to Noah. So it symbolizes the rays of the sun, the seven rays of the sun. The more that you store the energy there at Noah, which is your navel chakra, then you also are utilizing aspects of these particular longevity principles. Because if you notice, Noah, out of all the generations that survived after the flood, he lived the longest. Now, we know that Methuselah lived to be 969 years old, based on the story. Moses lived to be 930 years old. And for y'all, go and do some research, and y'all can hit me back in the chat room. How old did Noah live to be?
Huh.
All right? Somebody should be able to hit me back in the chat room once they do their little research. By the end of this. All right, so I'm going to let that linger out there because we want people in order to know what's really going on.
Right.
Okay? And you'll be able to calculate actually, you know, those particular signs of Noah. You know, for example, as we just finished doing with his sons, who is known as Ham, Japheth, right, and
right.
Shem. Based on what they have told you, Shem is what produced the Hebrews seed. Japheth produced the Gentile seed, and Ham produced the black seed, as they say. They tell you that Ham was cursed, even though when you read the story, Ham was not cursed. Canaan, who was Ham's son, was cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Noah's grandson, which is Canaan, was cursed. Okay? So, when you go back and you analyze that story, there's certain things that you might find out. Okay? And
isn't Ham a corruption of the word Cam?
How?
Is Ham the same word as Cam or Kemet?
Yeah, it's the same word. Exactly.
That's what I, okay.
Exactly. It was the same. Exactly. Nope. Matter of fact, Cam, Ham, as well as also, which is short for Kemet, you know, which is another name for the land of Egypt, the black land, you know,
right.
Which of us, you know, wasn't talking per se about, you know, the land itself at one time, but more so of the people, which is called Kemul or Kemal.
Right. And your word chemistry also.
Right, where the word chemistry comes from, which means the study of blackness.
Oh, man.
Which that alchemy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know. All right, so it's no coincidence that allegedly at the age of the flood, Noah happened to be 666 years old. But once again, they tell you that by absorbing energy in your dantian, you prolong your carbon elements.
Mm-hmm.
6 protons, 6 neutrons, 6 electrons. And it's no coincidence that Noah, I don't know if I got, let me see if I got the answer in the chat room yet before I spilled the beans. No, I ain't got it yet. Anyway, lived to be 950 years old.
Okay.
All right, so he lived to be older than Adam, 20 years older than Adam.
That's how long his presence was felt.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
You know, so of course, 9 + 5 + 0 comes up to 14, and 1 + 4 = 5, symbolic to the five senses.
Wow.
And so it's talking about utilizing the five senses in order to stimulate the carbon elements in which the body is composed of, you know, and that actually you can extend those five elements into those five elements in which that we spoke of earlier, which is psychemistry, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairgestance, you know, which are the five elements or five senses above those five elements that we use on an everyday basis. Touch, taste, smelling, hearing, seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we look at Noah, we see that the storyline goes deeper than what is expected. And
right.
Each particular prophet symbolizes an aspect of ourselves. So as we were saying, Adam symbolizes the root chakra, so hence the earth element. Noah symbolizes the water element, which is the navel chakra. Abraham symbolizes the fire, which is the solar plexus chakra. David symbolizes the air, which is the heart chakra. Moses symbolizes the throat, which is communication, which symbolizes, let my people go, or him being not being eloquent enough, but yet at the same time saying, you know, let my people go once again. Jesus symbolizes the third eye, you know, when the eye is filled with light, the whole body, when the eye is single, the whole body is filled with light. And then, of course, Muhammad symbolizes the crown chakra, as he represents within the Quranic belief system that he is the last seal of the prophets. Well, based on the Injil, which is the book of Revelation, there were seven seals. And you're supposed to open all seven seals. Well, Muhammad symbolizes the last seal of the prophets. So he symbolizes the last of the seven prophets, major prophets. And so, and this, once again, this is not an actual man either. You know, that's the thing. People want to get caught up to Ahmed Ibn Abdullah, Mustafa Al-Amin, who's supposed to have been born 1,400 years ago. Well, that's fine. But he took on a name, which is Muhammad, when he went into Ethiopia. If you say that he existed, he took on a name of an Egyptian deity. Because Muhammad is actually happy, a form of happy.
Mm-hmm.
The River Nile deity or god. All right? In which that supposedly brought Serem or Islam, you know, to the people. Which means Sa means sanctuary or peace, and Rem means Ra. You know, so when you put Sa Rem together, really what you're talking about, that you bring in peace of the children of Ra, or the children of Ra, you know, peace. You know, Sa Rem. You know, that's where you get the word Mesrem. Mesrem means the children of Ra, or the children of the light. Hence, that's what Masons call themselves to this very day. So when the word Mesrem, this we get the word later on, is Mesonry. All right? So we know where these connections come from. And this is why also you can look by check out to Diop, John G. Jackson in particular, Gerald Massey. They all say that when you break down the word Freemasonry, that its origin is derived from ancient Egypt, from the
exactly
word, which is P H R E E free, and then Meson, which is M E S S E N Meson. So Freemason, and which means a child of the light or the child of Ra.
Exactly.
So that's no coincidence that the word Mesrum, which is derived from the word Mes, M E S, once again, which is short for messenger or messiah within Hebrew and Arabic, or Moshiach, that you have the word Mesrim, which means child of the light or child of Ra. So when we say that we are Mesrim, and that's the word Muslim or the word Muslim, we are children of the son of light, or the children of the sun, or children of the light.
Wow.
Or children of Ra. So, yes, we are Muslims or Mesrums, or what is known as Masons. Masons.
All one and the same.
All one and the same. But because they don't want people to know that, they want to have all these divisions. This is why the 32nd and the 33rd degree of Masonry, they go into Islam. You can become a Shriner, and you can greet each other, Assalamu Alaikum. And the reply is, wa alaikum as-salam.
Yes, sir.
This is why you can hold up one finger, which symbolizes Ahad, or Tahid, the oneness of Allah, as a Shriner, as a reply, as a sign also. So this is no coincidence. You know, so this is the real science here. We didn't hold nothing back tonight. So, therefore, you know, let's see what's going on in the chat room here. Are there any questions? Anybody got any questions? I don't see no callers. I don't know what's up with that.
No callers at all?
Hold on. Let me see here. It looks like there's a question here. They done changed up the system. Let me see. 702. Every code 702. You're on the line.
Peace.
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 Brother Eileen, what's going on with
you? Peace.
Peace, God.
Peace to both of y'all. Hey, yeah, I've been on that line for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead, Ike. You got some questions?
Yeah, I got. You know what?
Anybody there?
Yeah, I don't know if we can hear him, Mark. We can go to area code 347. Area code 347, you on the line. Peace.
Yes, good night, Dr. Bay. I was just waiting for the founder and president of the Moringa.
All right, we're going to bring him on in 5 more minutes.
Thank you.
All right. We got area code 808 on the line.
Peace, Dr. Eileen.
Hey.
Peace, God.
Peace, God. This is Imhotep out here in Washington State.
Yes, peace, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Man, it's always a blessing when I catch your show, man. You're so informative, you know what I'm saying? Your creativity, brother, it's, you know what I'm saying? You're doing wonderful things, you know what I'm saying? And I know you know that. But, you know, I was watching this YouTube video, and you might have seen it, talking about the crucifixion of the rhesus monkey.
Right.
Okay. So when I watched that, you know what I'm saying, I took it for what, you know, value it was. But my mind started doing some correspondence, and I was like, you know, they always put that monkey out there with the fez on, and we always assume that monkey is representing us. But
right.
I got to thinking, maybe they're trying to tell us they are a monkey with our knowledge. Running around space, this monkey is running around the universe now. What do you think about that? You know what I'm saying? Just on the concept of, you know, them constantly putting blackface on.
Yeah, well, we look at Hunaman from out of India. That was a monkey. If you look at the baboon from out of Egypt, that's a monkey, or aspect of a monkey.
Okay.
That symbolizes Tawhidi.
Okay, yeah, you're right about that, okay.
Right, in which that symbolizes wisdom. So the monkey was utilized in order to show that was a symbol of wisdom for those who wore that particular fez, regardless of the monkey was being used or not. That was just nothing more than Tawhidi on form of either Hunaman from out of the Sanskrit teachings form, in which that we know that when you read about Hunaman being one of the gods or deities, you'll find some fascinating things about him. And actually the extension of the story of Tawhidi. So I'm not bothered by the monkey, you know, because I understand the symbolism. But as far as the rhesus monkey, you know, I'm going to let the European contend with that because, you know, they be the monkey's uncle, so I ain't worrying about that.
Right, shave all the hair off of them, see what color they are.
Yeah, you know, I ain't never say he was my uncle. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to have to keep proving that, you know, based on their evolutionary theory. I already know that we've been on this planet for over 2.8 billion years. And I know the eight, and I said billion, and I know the eight species only been for 20 million years. So they will have to explain on who created who.
Okay. Now, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, Noble Drew Ali said, you know what I'm saying, there was aspects of us in other animals.
I mean, that's what was taught in the Adept chambers. But that information rolled over into the Nation of Islam, which has some of the occult teachings, or you know, and that information comes from Masonry and the Rosicrucians.
Okay.
They have information within their information. You
so
know, because I remember I was breaking it down back to my cousin back in the days, and he's 33rd degree. And he let me say, but so much, he said, but I always knew that was the connecting piece. He told me this right after I broke down the information down to him. So he was always wondering how I knew masonry, but yet I never joined.
Yeah. You know, I being a hypercenter and being in the Nation of Islam, I seem to know masonry, and I seem
right.
to pick it up, but I never joined.
Right.
I don't have
no. I mean, now I'm a Moorish, you know, right. You know, I'm a Moorish right Freemason, if that's the case. But, I mean, you know, of course, during that time, you wonder why I never joined the Prince Hall or any of them. I mean, there was no need to because I wasn't about to ride
right.
on the and get my ass beat.
Right. You know, Dr. Arlene, what's the chances of getting you on a track one day?
Oh, definitely, man. That's no doubt. That's what we do. Matter of fact, I got an album coming out by August the 17th.
Okay. I got an album we're working on called 808 Zombies. I definitely need you on the track because you know.
Oh, no doubt. Send me the track and I'll definitely do something.
I'll try to shoot you an email and remind you this is MOTEP XX out here in Washington State.
Appreciate that, brother. Thank you, brother MOTEP.
Hey, you know, say I'm in class, so you know what I'm saying, I appreciate y'all.
All right.
Hey, you guys have a good night. Peace.
Peace, more. All right, Brother L, you got any closing remarks before we go to the next show here? We get ready to bring Sister Deborah on with one of the founders or presidents of the Moringa products. You got any closing words based on what we're going over so far tonight's segment?
Yes, sir. I was thinking about what Noble Drew Ali said about the old time religion, of course, and Islamism, that is our old time religion.
Right,
and that's,
exactly.
That is distinctive from all this other bullshit so called religions they call today.
Right, well, that's because some rather get caught up into the Arab traditions today and then, you know, dress like the Arabs and so forth and so on, you know, and, you know, that is something in which that is also sad,
yes.
You know, or they're getting caught up in somebody else's traditions and customs instead of developing their own based on the information in which that was left for them.
Right.
You know? And so when someone like me come out and I just bust up, you know, their whole belief system, their whole.
Exactly.
So, you know, they look at me like, you know, why? You know, but I'm like, why not?
Yes, indeed.
But hold on, brother L. We're getting ready to bring on.
All right.
Sister Deborah, are you here? Peace.
Yes,
hello.
Evan.
Yes, hello.
Peace. How you doing?
Peace, sister.
I'm fine, thank you.
Begin ready to bring him in. Is that 302?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Caller 302, you're on the line.
Oh, peace. It's Messiah.
Peace, yeah. God.
This is Brother Messiah. Is your Deborah, is your you know his number?
I think it's a 2. I don't have it memorized right now.
Tell him to press 1 right quick. You know, have his name and everything. Tell him to press 1 before I get the Brother Messiah here.
Okay.
Peace out.
Peace.
Peace,
God. How you doing,
peace.
Grand Sheik?
I'm all right, Grand Sheik. You
got all the Grand Sheik on the phone. What's going on?
The question I had to ask is, you know the Mystic Shrine, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now, back in the day, I don't know whether it's still like this now. This is the question I have in regard to this. Back in the day, in order to petition to come to the Mystic Shrine, you had to obtain the highest degree of whatever order you was a part of, like, you know, for example, 33 degrees Scottish Rite, 32nd degree Prince Hall, 10 degrees York Rite.
13 degrees York Rite.
It's 13 degrees in York Rite?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so my question is that if in order to petition to be in the shrine, I've heard that now you only got to be a master mason to do it.
Exactly.
Right.
That they changed that. They did.
Right, they did.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was my question.
Right. Well, you're definitely right. Now, all you have to do is be a master mason, which is a third degree. Because, in other words, as long as you was the highest member of the Blue House. You know, then of course, like on the York side, there's 10 degrees above that, in which that gives 13. And then, of course, there's 30 degrees on the Scottish side above that, in which that gives 33. So we know now that the highest degree actually, or everything in which that is encompassed within Freemasonry, is actually taught at the third degree level, which is the Master Mason level. However, they don't get understanding of it unless they normally go through the other degrees.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, everything gets taught to them by the third degree. You know, so that is the truth. So some, if they do enough study or research, then they will know exactly what's going on, even at the third degree, maybe even more so than a person who's at the 32nd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's even what Morris Wright as well. They said that all you got to do is obtain that third degree, that Sa'id Day degree, and you can petition to be a Shriner.
Right.
From that point forward. And also, dealing with the Morris Rite, the first degree that you obtain, or the Asiatic degree, the preliminary degree, that is the 33rd degree in the Scottish Rite.
Wow.
You start off at the 33rd degree.
Well, that's the only way that could have happened is because, of course, the most puissant, you know, is 97 degrees, you know, which is part of the Memphis Rite, as well as also the Al Day, you know, Alem Bay is 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. Of course, they can actually do that.
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That way you went towards the 360 degrees.
Right.
The,
exactly.
The Morris Rite. Okay. I have yet to join the Morris Rite, but I'm going to join.
Right.
Come on through.
Yes, sir.
Come on through.
Yeah, it's definitely a good experience.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
The problem is just traveling, travel, you know. So I'm in the St. Louis, Missouri Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's definitely a beautiful experience, and it's on the rise as well.
Oh, man. I can believe that.
Yes.
Something beautiful like that, yes, sir.
Yes. We get much respect.
Yes, because I know this is something that I probably have never experienced, and it'll probably be very enlightened to me. Than a lot of the pensile junk I've been dealing with.
No doubt about it. Wait, Brother L. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we get education degrees. You know, when you so-called traditional Freemasonry, you'll have Freemasons that come through the degrees and don't really understand the nature of the rituals and don't really understand the nature of the degrees, but in the Morris Rite, oh, we learn about them.
Oh, man. Okay.
We know the nature of them.
Okay.
We learn the principles of them.
I'm
the Europeans, or I ain't even going to say the Europeans, but, you know, in the traditional Freemasonry, I've met Freemasons that, you know, they don't know the Dugards, the grips, and the passwords and things like that, but won't actually know any sciences associated with that degree or with that grip or with that Dugard. And the Morris Rite is different.
Hmm.
You learn the actual science associated with it.
Man.
It's a beautiful experience.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah.
All right, I'm getting ready to bring the sister on. Thank you, Brother Messiah. Appreciate you, Grand Sheik. And tell everybody about your event coming up April the 6th.
Yes, April the 6th, grand opening, Temple Number 2F, Morris Holy Temple of Science in Laurel, Delaware. You can contact us at Morris Holy Temple of Science of the World 2F at Gmail. for details, and we'll send you the app or the flyer associated with that event. Dr. Aileen Bay will be there giving a lecture on indigenous people. Brother Taj Tariq will be giving a demonstration on the Divine Warning by Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and Sister Roz Mariah Bay will be giving a demonstration on the cover of the questionnaire and Noble Drew Ali, Uplifting Fallen Humanity.
Mm.
Big heavy hitters. I'm just hosting.
I understand, God.
I can't even come behind them.
I understand, God. Neither can I.
Yeah, I can't even come behind them. I'm just hosting.
Yes,
them.
I can't touch them.
This is who I've learned from.
Same here.
Yes, and that's coming up April 6th. Like I said, the website is also, you can also correspond to the website at themoorishholyemporium.com. We have a store online as well, which is the Moorish Holy Emporium. You can correspond that website, get the details for the event, and I hope to see everybody in attendance. It's going to be the event of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And you have any phone numbers you want to give out in order to contact, in order to, let them reserve their seats now or anything?
Yes. Anybody who wants to come and vend or just come to the event, get any more further details about the event, phone number you can reach me at is area code 302-723-5089. Once again, that's area code 302-723-5089. You can call or text. I'll most likely get a text before I will get a call. So a text would be greatly appreciated. I'll definitely be able to respond to that. I'll be on the move all the time, so sometimes I don't be able to answer calls.
Okay.
But if you text me, I'll be able to get back to that.
All right. Appreciate you, Brother Messiah Grand Sheik. Y'all heard it, April the 6th. Make sure y'all behinds be there. This is going to be one of the great ones this year. That's me, Brother Taj, Sister Roz, my wife, Brother Messiah, Sister Crystal, Sheikah's Crystal. All of us are going to be in attendance, you know what I'm saying? And so we definitely going to be doing our Thug Dizzle, you know, or Moorish Dizzle, as we would say, bringing people back into the constitutional fold, as we were saying, Uplifting Fallen Humanity. So
yes,
make sure y'all come out for that event. That's in Laurel, Delaware. All right, April the 6th. Check us out. The Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the World 2F.
I know you're going to make a DVD copy of those, right?
Oh, definitely. Oh,
okay.
Messiah is
over. I don't know
if I'm
going to make it or not, but I definitely want a DVD copy of that.
Oh, there's
oh,
no
yeah.
doubt. Brother Messiah, tell him you always filming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to have that available within about 2 weeks after the event.
Okay,
right.
Boy.
For those interested on the cruise information, I'm pretty sure he got some cruise footage for you, too.
Okay.
I'm actually putting that together right now as we speak.
Exactly.
All those,
right.
Those are two DVDs I want, the cruise information and the April 6th.
The cruise
is very appreciate you.
Cruise is very powerful.
No
I
doubt.
The ride was going in. Dr. Mm-hmm. Aileen was in. Very powerful crew.
Sister Roz made it?
Nah, Azariah. Brother Azariah.
Oh, Azariah, okay.
Yes. Yes, it's a very powerful cruise. I'm still decoding a lot of that information right now. Definitely very
right.
powerful.
All right. Thank you, Brother Messiah. Appreciate you out.
Yeah, thank you, Moore.
We definitely going to be with your Grand Sheik April the 6th. And congratulations on your engagement, as well as we would say, the soon wedding here. We just want to give thanks, for the tie, as we would say, the unification, the summer tawi, the yoke, so... We appreciate you and Sheikah's Crystal,
you know, for doing your thing, you know.
Absolutely.
All right, let me go to the sister Deborah here in order to see if we can get the brother on from the Moringa products.
All right.
All right, God.
All right, peace.
Peace and love.
Peace and love, Ock. Deborah, are you here?
Yes, I am.
I still don't see his number.
203.
What is it?
203.
203. Let me see. 203. I have 302. I don't have 203.
I know that's 203. You can. Okay, I'm not sure. I have it as 203.
Yeah, I don't have 203. If you want to reschedule, we definitely can.
Okay, then. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, welcome. All right. You got any closing remarks, Grand Sheik?
Yes. This one of the greatest lectures we ever had so far.
Okay, appreciate that.
Loved it, man. You have me almost falling to the floor laughing, God.
Yeah, man. I mean, because it's ridiculous, man.
I
want to bring humor to the nonsense so people can see how foolishly they've been acting. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, boy. I have a question, though, about it was a product I bought from the health food store.
Mm-hmm.
It was called chloride. What was it called? Hydrochloride? No, not that. Or is it hydrochloride? I know you suggested to me to get.
Hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know how many times should I take that a day?
Three.
Three times a day?
Right. Three drops in your water. 8%, three drops in your water three times a day.
Okay, I got you.
Right, starting out anyway in order to see how that feels with your body, then you can go up to 10, you know, see how 10 feels at the most.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I tried to get. I asked you that before he had left.
Right, what it does is oxygenate the cells. So,
okay.
You know, you definitely feel better when using it. I mean, you can feel energized as soon as you take it. I know I do every time, bro.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's good for some of everything.
Yeah, what it does is get rid of pathogens, microbes, worms, parasites, you know, fungi, you know, bacteria, viruses.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, it can help from everything from high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, HIV, AIDS,
wow.
Herpes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, it goes to knock it all out. It goes to knock it all out.
Okay. Because I was talking to this European when I got it. He says, I wonder why the medical association won't even shut us down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of this, you know. Because I feel like more people come here than they do doctors and hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they know the people, they want to get healed, not to be treated. They want to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
So that's like I said, I wish I could come up there April 6th.
Right.
But that sounds like a really, oh, man, that's an event that I don't want to miss.
Oh, it definitely is going to be out.
Oh, man.
No, yeah.
Delaware, the state of Delaware?
Yeah, state of Delaware, Laurel, Delaware.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll try, though.
All right. That sounds good, brother. Hold on. We got area code 336 online. 336, you on the line.
Hey, yes, what's going on, Brother Land? This is Robert from Greensboro last night.
Peace, brother. How you doing?
Peace. What's going on? Peace, L. Brother L. I have a question. With that 8% food grade peroxide, he has sickle cell anemia. And I wondered, like, would that work pretty good for him?
Yeah, excellent, because the reason why the cell is sick is because there's not enough oxygen.
Okay.
So, right, so 8% to 35% full grade would be excellent in order to utilize. 3%, three drops of 35% and probably up to 10 drops, 8%, within 8 ounces of water.
Okay. I've been thinking about getting that. I have alkaline machine.
Right. I definitely recommend doing so because that can actually help eradicate sickle cell anemia.
Okay. Because I've been getting some of that moringa, too. I have some from
the moringa is excellent. That's a superfood. You definitely want to use that, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I might have to hit you up.
Matter of fact, you want to combine all the superfoods, actually. In green foods, you want to combine corella, spirulina, moringa, wheatgrass, alfalfa, dandelion, chickweed. You know, you definitely want to get all of those together. Make it like a green blend. You know, you can also add sea moss, bladder wrack, kelp, you know what I'm saying, to the mix too. And start, you know, taking that on a... You know, on a little daily basis, too.
Okay. Yeah, I might hit you up. I just give you a call tomorrow.
All right, Doc.
All right. All
right, peace.
Peace. All right. Closing out, we got the real science for you. Holy are you. By Rakim.
Holy are you, holy are you. There is no God but you. There is no God but you.
I need to talk to y'all for a minute.
Praise be the Lord.
Be serious for a minute.
Holy are you.
Why they call me the God MC, the lyricist. Trace this style to the roots, I'm Genesis. The world wonder, I'm still standing like pyramids. Design so vivid, every brick it got a story to tell. My rhyme flow different like a hieroglyphic. Mind prolific, infinite, like mathematics. The first language, now add that and add graphic. Go ahead, it gon' let the blocks know it's the gospel. Life's new manual, so watch close. The new Michelangelo or Pablo Picasso. Prepare to show you the cosmos and rock flow. Even my lyrical metaphysical. What this will do is help you get to your spiritual pinnacle. You find your mind too far fetched for it to fathom. I bring the darkness to the light, split the atom. It's like watching a Big Bang Theory emerge. I take titles, burn them to a billion words. They want a clear view. From the farthest in the darkest corners of the universe to a corner near you. A barrel and ghetto apparel. Stay blamed up, Fort Knox display. A modern day King Tut. Rap tight, rap like I've been preserved in time. Spit the holy water to touch it, to turn it to wine. It's the dog. So he fell from paradise to holy hell.
probably descendants of the Holy Grail. Another part of history they won't reveal. Time to only tell. You waiting for judgment. It came in the form of a dove in the game to create its own position. It's blood in my vein. The chemical is identical. We one of the same. With seven letters and all three of my government names. Walk on water, nah, neighbor to Jesus. It's a parable to make followers and readers believers. From Egypt to Budapest, rock him as the truest left. Understand the scriptures like the minister Lewis F. I told you who God is, you ignore me like most of the prophets. Jesus, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad. I show the scholars, will fulfill the broken promise. I speak the truth to predict the future like those Thomas. Like revelations, I'm hoping my quotes reveal the seven spirits of God when I open the seal. Interpret the Holy Quran. These flows of God translated to law and decode the Bible. Warn the elders in the mosque, made songs in the laws. The seven churches, synagogues, it's the Renaissance. Skin of bronze, like the Messiah, rocking my laws. About to reveal a bigger secret in time, men of God.
Holy are you.